to order. It's 7...
I give it to you.
It is 7:19 PM, and I appreciate the opportunity and patience of all of you, because that obviously, the public hearing went a little longer than we anticipated originally. With us this evening, for the record, are all members of City Council, Mayor Stowe, various members of the administrative staff, and I know that via Zoom, we have Mr. Glenn Grisdale from Reveille via Zoom. I don't know whether there's anybody else via Zoom. Is there anybody else out there, Chuck?
No.
Okay. The purpose of the meeting, of the committee of the whole meeting tonight, is regarding the potential for a tax increment financing district in the downtown area. I know we've had a significant number of conversations and meetings about this over the last year or so, and I know that Mr. Grisdale and the administrative staff have had some conversations with Sylvania Schools in regards to this, and wanted to get a quick update on that from Mr. Sanford, and then we can discuss what next steps we would like to take. So, Mr. Sanford.
Mr. Fry?
Yes.
Could you say on the record, or may I get permission to push away from the table for a potential conflict of interest?
I apologize. Mr. Gard, do I need a motion? Okay, so, second, we have a motion from Mrs. Westfall. We have a second from Mr. McCann to allow Ms. Stout to push back from the table regarding this because of a conflict of interest. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried. Let the record show that Ms. Stout has pushed back from the table.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fry. And the law director, Leslie Brining, and I have both been working with Mr. Grisdale on this. And again, going back and forth, and I do want to report on one thing. Well, but maybe first we'll start with anything else, and I'll turn to Leslie and see if you have any other comments before we, with the status of where things are and what we've worked out so far with Glenn.
Thank you. I think Mr. Sanford just passed out the proposed draft legislation that we've worked on, and that we can go over that maybe in more detail once. Glenn actually probably put it first, and then if anybody has any questions, I'll respond to those. But nothing has come up today, so.
Great. I think, Mark, probably the best thing is to have Glenn explain the handout that the that we've worked on with the projections that the TIF would produce over 30 years. And again, we ask Glenn to be with us today to answer any questions that council would have on this.
Great. Glenn, you're up.
Sure. Can everybody see me okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Can I see anybody else? I'm glad I did my hair today, probably I think you can see that. So where we're at today, I think I probably don't have to bore anybody as to why we're here. We're here as a byproduct of your downtown master plan, which outlined a path forward to help improve and expand your downtown public realm space. And one of those tools mentioned in the plan was the TIF. The TIF would help with improvements to extend the downtown footprint over the past year. I think we talked about expanding the footprint to pick up the interchange, and you should have an updated map as part of this resolution. The improvements would help with a variety of things. Not only would it help with promoting additional real property investment and helping leverage outside private funding and public funding, would provide ADA accessibility to over 30 businesses in the target area, help with deteriorating infrastructure. And so what the target area did is that we identified about 129 to 130 parcels that were only commercial and industrial, no residential uses will be part of it.
Glenn, you're stuck. Glenn?
$9 million of property valuation has been identified in this county right. So we will have that, the valuation, $65.9 million, will get locked in. The schools will continue to receive their normal taxes on that locked-in valuation, which will be about $1.3 million. But moving forward, the natural increase, in addition to any sort of property improvements and projects that you have there, will be captured and redirected back in a way that the schools and our team works with. And what we've agreed to, and what they've agreed to, at least in this point, which I believe is a win-win situation, is that they will, they understand that we could do three consecutive 75, 10-year TIFs if we wanted to, but we want to be good partners with them, they want to be good partners with us. However, they do realize that they're kind of up against the gun with a variety of things, and one of which is the no income tax. And also, they receive a good portion of their revenue from the commercial and industrial side of things. The book that I handed out in the previous meeting showed that we have historical valuations for the quarter. And as you can see, most of the increase of the overall property valuation doesn't come from the residential side of things, even though that is the largest chunk. Biggest increase over the last so many years has come from commercial and industrial valuations. So they're sensitive to that. And they pitched to us holding them harmless in years 11 through 30. And what that does is that will give them their normal taxes and keep them whole. And it would redirect the residual back to the city. And how that benefits us is that now we could accept for a longer time period. And that was always kind of a concern to us, is that we've identified a lot of things to do, a lot of things to spend money on, but from day one, we really haven't had a project to help increase the value in the TIF. So we are taking the path forward that looks at the natural increase. And so the spreadsheets that we've identified, we, if you have a front of the book, we have that in front of you. What we did was we've identified taking about 20% of the valuation in that target area. So 20% of the $6.5 million in the target area is about $13.1 million. And so years 1 through 10, it's a 75% arrangement. So that valuation is about $9.8 million. We run the tax calculations on that, and you can see here's 1%, about 281 going to the city, and about 64,000 going to the schools. And then in years 11 through years 30, it's on 100% of that 20% for about 13 million, and you can see how that goes. Roughly 55% of that valuation would go to the schools, 55% or more, depending upon what their levy ratios are. And the residual minus the administrative fees that the county might get will go back to the city. The way the ordinance or the resolution is drafted is that because it's a held harmless situation, the county auditor and treasurer are fine with directing the monies back to the city and to the schools, so there'll be no need for the city to do that on their own. The schools actually like it that way, and rather prefers getting the money directly from the county rather than have it go to the city and to him. So in what's the total math, we've got about 5.7 or 5.8 going to the schools, plus the 1.3 that they're normally going to get anyways, and then the city would get about $6.8 to $7 million roughly over the course of that 30-year period. And as I always express to you from day one, these are just estimates. These spreadsheets work preferably when you know exactly what project valuation is, because I use these spreadsheets for CRAs when we know exactly what the property valuation is. It's easier than because if you do the math, here, the only thing that I could do is model out a percentage of the natural increase. And since 2004, there's been about $34 million worth of new valuation, commercial and industrial valuation, in that target area. So that's about a 54.2% increase. So I conservatively do 20%, and that 20% is about $13.1 million.
So Glenn, few follow-up questions. This, what the ordinance that Mrs. Brining passed out was a 30-year TIP ordinance, correct?
Yes, sir.
And inside that 30-year TIP, there is a 10-year rolling TIP embedded into it. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. You'll see that in the end of Section 1. It talks about exemptions of the improvements being authorized to the tax year on a partial-by-partial basis.
Right. So, but just as a brief review, the $1.3 million a year that Sylvania Schools would be locked in at, over the 30-year period, that's about $39 million of revenue to the schools, correct? Okay. And under the proposed estimate that you have here, they're going to get an additional $5.8 million. So they're going to get $44.5 million over the 30 years based upon your estimate, according to my calcs.
Right.
Okay, we're going to see 6.8, 6.9 based again on your calculations, correct?
Correct. And it could be more, it could be less.
Understood.
They're yearly averages, but like the stock market, any given year, you can have it go up, you can have it go up, you know, go down 20%, and the next year go up 40%.
So the only thing that the school is not getting in this situation that they would have otherwise gotten if we did nothing is the difference between whatever they would have gotten for the incremental amount at the 56%, which is about their current take, versus the 25 that we're proposing embedded in this TIP, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so out of the $45 million, they're going to lose about $1 million based upon your estimate.
It seems that way, yes.
So they're going to keep about 97% of the money they would have otherwise gotten.
Right.
Okay. And that allows us to access $6 or $7 million based on your projections of monies that we can use for the TIP footprint for projects that would be approved and appropriate for the TIP purposes, correct?
Sure. Yeah, and you can leverage that money too with grant applications for other loans too. So that's the benefit of this.
Right.
Is that often when you apply for grants, they're looking for match. And you can use this, you can use the SIP revenue, you get the SIP revenue, and match it some future.
And you've had, along with the administrative staff, multiple conversations about this, is that correct? With,
yes.
With the schools?
Yeah. Adam is fine with this. He was prepared tonight to take the model resolution that I gave them and have them support it, so that they would give us the resolution and we would tag that in our legislation, which would allow us to not have to do the 45-day notification.
And for the record, Adam is?
He's the new treasurer.
Yeah, and I know who he is, but I wanted to make sure that's on the record.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Mr. Fry, just to add, before tonight I attended the school board meeting and they passed the resolution to support the TIP 5-0.
So we have, Mrs. Brining, my understanding is that we have a footprint that we are proposing for the TIP, correct?
Correct.
We have a resolution and support from the school district based upon the conversations that we've had with the school district. Is that correct?
Correct.
We have a proposed ordinance, but prior to the ordinance, we have to hold a public hearing. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Before we're allowed to consider it.
Correct.
Okay, so mechanically then we would need to, during council, we would then need to schedule a public hearing for
yes.
this matter if we, as council members, wanted mm-hmm. to move forward.
That's correct. Okay. It requires 30 days notice.
Like all public hearings, right. 30 days advance notice.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions from members of council?
Yes, if I heard correctly, there is not any residential properties being included in the target area. It looks like the map was excluded in this packet.
There is no map, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There will be a map. We had an earlier map, Marcus, and there were a couple of houses on Maplewood, and we're eliminating those. We'll make sure that they're, the map that Glenn referred to does not have any residents in it. Correct. We will.
And as far as advanced as possible, because we're going to have residents who, and business owners who want to see it. Any other questions from members of council?
I didn't follow any of these numbers. Maybe everybody else did, but I didn't. So at some point, I would like to have a better understanding of the numbers that you rattled off so nicely.
Well, I've spent a lot of time with this, Mr. Hanlon.
I understand that.
I'm sure Glenn would be happy to walk through this with you.
I understand you've spent a lot of time, but I got to vote on it, and I don't understand.
Granted, absolutely. No, if you're not...
And I'm a reasonably smart guy. I'm a finance major from Miami University.
Mr. Hanlon, I'm not far from your position, but I asked Mr. Frye if his numbers that he's got a spreadsheet on corresponded to Mr. Gillespie's, and he said yes.
Okay, that's good.
That meant a lot to me.
And Mark, we just encourage all council members to forward your questions. We'll get them to Glenn, and we'll get you that explanation. It's a bit complex, but once you grasp it, and
did we record this tonight?
Yes.
We did.
Yes.
I want to watch this again.
Listen, you'll get to listen it. Understand? We don't record it. No. Just.
No, they're clear.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So it'll be on the website and watch it on the website. Right?
Listen to it.
Audio.
Right.
Audio.
Okay. Any other questions from council members? Okay. Mr. Sanford, any other closing comments?
Oh, thank you. And thanks to Glenn for zooming in for the meeting. That made it more convenient for him to attend and to hang around until we're ready for him.
I appreciate that, Glenn. Thank you very much. Do I have a motion to adjourn the Committee of the Whole for City Council?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion carried. Thank you very much. We're adjourned at 7:37 p.m.